What we're really walking into is this situation that was perfectly created to exploit all of the glitches in our brain, period. Like, this is gonna be rough because we're human beings with human brains.
You're listening to episode 195 of the Building Psychological Strength podcast, where we uncover the information, tools, and techniques to turn our mind into our most valuable asset.
The courage to face fears with persistence.
Being able to be present enough in this moment to choose my response thoughtfully.
We have the strength to bend to life stressors, to bend to adversity without snapping, without breaking.
There are only six things that contribute to our quality of life, and they are all experiences.
In every moment, we are deciding who we want to be and how we want to live our lives.
Noticing what your brain is doing and then being able to make choices.
Mobilize the things that we know lift us up.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Building Psychological Strength podcast. My name is April and I'm your host. I'm really thrilled, given the timing of when this episode is coming out, I'm really thrilled that you chose to be with us this week, because the information that we have to share is something that is extremely timely to the situation going on around us, more specifically within the political climate. I want to talk a little bit about what this episode is going to be and what it is not going to be, because I think it's important. There's a lot of people creating content about the political climate and political season out there, and I want you to know what you're going to get here from this episode. There are a lot of people who will write, especially from a psychological perspective, they'll write blog posts, they'll do podcast episodes about how our minds are biased, how we're biased in terms of the information we're taking in, and how the judgments that we're making about who we should vote for and the issues we should vote for or against are biased, and here's how to make better decisions. There's enough of that content out there that if you simply Google cognitive biases and politics, you'll find a lot of blog posts and a lot of podcasts and other supporting content to help you. That's not what we're going to focus on today. Instead, so much of what we do at Peak Mind, the goal, the reason for being, the whole driving force behind it is that we want you to live better. We want you to do better day to day. And that means taking what we know about the field of psychology and the field of life design and bringing it to you in a way that you can apply it so that your day-to-day life feels better. And don't get me wrong, I'm not talking about how we're going to teach you how to put on your rose-colored glasses and pretend like everything's perfect right now, because it's not. It's not. But rather, sometimes when you're in a difficult season, like we all are right now, the political season is not easy. Some tips about how you can support yourself through it, some understanding about why you might be feeling the way that you are and what to do about it can really help and help you thrive and help you get through it in a way where you maintain your values and where you can look back and feel proud of the way that you handled yourself and dealt with the situation rather than having regrets. That's the episode that we're bringing to you today. So if you're interested in that, if you're finding yourself feeling more, I'm going to just name some emotions, but just know that we're going to go in any offshoot of them or others that I don't mention. If you're finding yourself feeling angry or anxious or helpless or resentful, or maybe you feel like things are hopeless right now or out of control, or you feel like you're in danger or any of those other things, confused at how other people could think the way that they do and behave the way that they do, we want to bring to you a couple of things with this episode. One, in the front half of this episode, we'll talk a lot about brain science and the way that our minds work and why you might be feeling this way. Sometimes just understanding how this software that we're running in this computer we carry around in our heads all day long, sometimes understanding how that works and the glitches that are just fundamentally built into it, that can just make you be a little bit more compassionate and understanding to yourself about why you might be feeling the way you are. And second, in the back half of the episode, we're going to give you some practical tips about what you can do to move through this season feeling better than you would if you didn't do these things. We'll put it that way. And this also includes, and I'm just going to tease this a little bit, this also includes those of you who find yourself in a role where you're feeling drawn to be an activist, where there is a particular policy, a situation, a topic, a person, actions by a group of people, et cetera, that you are feeling very drawn toward fighting against or pushing progress in that situation. These tips are also meant for you in order to support yourself through this time. So with all of that set up, I'm super pumped that we have Ashley here with us on the episode because she's got amazing background in how we support ourselves through tough times like this. So hello.
Hey, I'm so excited to talk today because I think this is going to be a really fun and sounds weird to call it fun, but I think it's going to be a fun and insightful conversation. So let's jump in.
Yeah, well, a fun conversation because again, I don't see a lot of people having it. And if they are, they're having it at a very, you know, surface level that's just not how we roll here. And so we're going to go a little deeper than that and get a little meatier.
Yeah. And practical. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So let's start off this episode and let's talk a little bit about our brain, our poor little brain during this time period. Oh man.
So many people, I mean, if we look back, the last big election season was rough for a lot of people, regardless of your political leanings. It was tough and it was polarizing and it was stressful. And there were a lot of really intense feelings all across the board. And it's shaping up to be exponentially bigger and more this go around. Mm-hmm. And so I know when we were getting ready for this episode and kind of talking about it, like what we're really walking into is this situation that it was perfectly created to exploit all of the glitches in our brain. Mm-hmm. Period. Like this is going to be rough because we're human beings with human brains that just,
they were not made for this.
They weren't. They really weren't.
I mean, if you think about the majority of our mind, the majority of the way that our mind works is very, very primitively, right? Like the old part of our mind is the majority of what goes on up there. That part of our mind, this vast majority, is super not equipped to handle a modern political climate with too much information and, you know, too much marketing spin in that information, not to mention a bunch of the stuff we'll get into. But then even the more modern part of our mind, the part that's more rational and can deliberate and be logical and think through it, it has such limited capacity that it doesn't stand a chance during a time like this. So there's literally not a worse, well, maybe there are some, but this is a pretty bad situation for a species like us with the type of brain that we have. This is why fundamentally at the highest level, you probably feel like garbage during the political season because it's just not a good environment for our brains to live in.
Absolutely. Like when you put together the way politics are set up and run these days, the way media, social media, and everything kind of plays into that, it brings out the worst in a lot of people. And it brings out the worst in terms of how we feel. And mm-hmm. So let's talk about why this happens and why I think more so now than a generation ago.
Exactly. Exactly. So we're going to talk about four key things, four main, you can call them, we'll call them glitches. I like that word a lot better than other ones that we could use in its place. Four main glitches. And I'll just say these, this list we came up with in about 10 seconds because they are so obvious and such big factors. If I spent another 3 minutes, we could probably quadruple the list really quickly, but that isn't the point. The point is to say, there's enough going on here to explain the way that you're feeling that we don't even have to, like, we can wade this far into the pool and I think it's going to make a lot of sense.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. So thing number one, glitch number one, we have a tendency to, and this is across the board, this is just how our minds work, but you can imagine it's not as helpful during political season. We have a tendency to lean towards something called black and white thinking. This is where we put ourselves in a very sharp either or situation. You are either this side of this policy or issue, or you are that side of this policy or issue. We hold others to that standard. We hold ourselves to that standard. We consume media with that lens. So it is this or sharp line, it is that.
And with that, it's you are either with me or against me, right? So this black or white thinking, it's when we put it into the election season, it's again, it's the circumstances that take this tendency that most people tend to have, and it's just blowing it out of proportion, like pouring gasoline on a fire, right? You are Republican or Democrat. You are Black Lives Matter or pro-police. You are right or you're wrong. And when we really look at these dichotomies, it just most things in the world aren't black and white.
No, they're not.
More nuanced than that.
They are. And the nuance gets lost in our desire to do what we think is right, do what we think is the, and by right, I mean the thing that aligns to our value system. We want to uphold our value system and do what we believe is right. And in doing that, we sort of protect that value system by pushing away the things that are characterized as against it without, and this is again, that that's poor thing. Like that old part of our mind does this to us. And the more modern part of our mind that is able to deliberate and think through, okay, if you are a person who is looking at what's happening in the Black Lives Matter movement and saying, it is not okay to like, kill people for things that are not capital crimes and did not have a jury and due process and all of that supporting it, that's not okay. If you're in that camp, your deliberate mind can probably also think through, wow, police have a tough job and I'm glad that if somebody were breaking into my house, I'd have someone to call. That deliberate part of our mind can think through the nuance of that. But with all of the other stimuli and input, plus your job, plus your family, plus the media, plus all of it, you don't have a lot of times the sufficient cognitive capacity to be able to do what we just did, where we say, yeah, there's a gray area here and that's where I live in. And I can think through it and I can get myself to a place where I'm at peace because I know where I stand. We just lose the cognitive bandwidth to be able to do that. And then our poor old brain takes over and it runs right into this black and white thinking.
Right. Well, and there's also pressure, I think external pressure to pick, are you this or are you that? Like our minds like to categorize and put things in nice little neat boxes. That's just a simplification tool, right? It makes it easy to sort. It doesn't mean that that's real or true or the way it is. And yet take a look around and you will see examples of this black or white thinking all over the place. It's this or it's that, either or. And another kind of signal for black or white thinking is always and never. You always or you never, because that's very black and white, right? Very, very seldom do people do things always or never, right? It might be almost always or oftentimes, but pay attention to that because you're going to see, oh, here's a glitch. And but think about it too. If someone does something that you disagree with or that you don't like, and then you get into that black or white thinking, you always do this. You never, what's the emotion that goes with that?
Anger.
Right. And compare that to, hey, sometimes you do this or sometimes you don't do that. Right. Like it just tones it down a little bit.
Yeah. So, you might still be angry, but it might be just like a muted version that you're able to handle.
Bingo. And if we're going for, you know, toning down the ick right now, here's a great strategy. Just be on the lookout for that black or white thinking because it really pumps up the volume on that.
I love that. So that is the first glitch that we wanted to talk about, black and white thinking. Second, and we've alluded to it a little bit by talking about the media, but our bias toward negativity. Now, I'm going to say, I should have set this up at the beginning, but the majority of these glitches come from our mind's number one goal of keeping us alive while expending the least amount of energy possible. Like keep you going so that you can live another day, propagate the species, do all the things that evolution likes us to do, keep you alive and going, but we don't have a whole lot of energy to do that. So we develop these heuristics and these rules of thumb, black and white thinking being one of them, negativity bias being another. If you're, you know, if you're a wild animal and you're sitting in the forest sniffing flowers and frolicking and rolling around in the grass because it feels really good, and that's exclusively the way that you lean and what you do, you may not notice that there is a predator lurking. Instead, if you are constantly scanning your environment for threats, for things that could harm you, you're much more likely to stay alive. You're not going to have a good time, but you're going to stay alive. And that's not what we said, right? Your brain's job is to keep you alive. It's not to make you have a good time.
Right.
So we look, we threat seek so easily and automatically. And guess what the media feeds us?
Right.
Threatening negative stuff.
Well, and I want to take a minute too, because sometimes when people hear like negativity, they think of it as like the Debbie Downer complaining. And what I want to be really clear about is when we're talking about negativity bias, we're talking about two things. You are likely to notice negative stuff more quickly, more easily than positive or neutral stuff. So it's almost like your brain shines a spotlight on all the bad things out there. And then, so they stand out to you. And the second part of it is negative things get encoded in our memory 10 times faster than positive things. So even when you notice the good stuff, it doesn't stick the same way. Negative stuff instantaneously gets coded in our memory. So that means we're noticing and we're remembering the negative. And then as we know, thinking becomes these mental pathways, they're just habits, right? The more you do something, the more you're going to do it. So that means it starts to feed itself. So then we start to notice even more and even more and even more. Now that's a normal human brain. Put that with today's media, right? That is feeding, like you said, April, it's feeding us negative, threatening, and really big stuff too, because that's what sells. Hey, here's this like mildly distressing thing that happened isn't going to capture headlines the same way as, oh no, kind of blowing it out of proportion.
Yeah, absolutely. And I want to talk a little bit about, so you mentioned those two pieces, right? We notice them more quickly, we encode them more strongly and more easily. The contradiction or the sort of rebuttal to what we're talking about is that this idea of having rose-colored glasses on or toxic positivity, pretending things are better than they are or good when they're not. We are not talking about trauma here. P.S. If you're grieving or going through trauma, that is not what we're talking about here. We're talking about your average run-of-the-mill day in the political season. When you think about how much more easily we notice it, how much more quickly we encode it, it really debunks this notion of all April and Ashley are doing is asking you to pretend like everything's good. Because what you're saying when with that rebuttal is you're asking me to be biased in the positive direction. And that is not what we're asking you to. You are biased already toward negativity. Yeah. All we're doing, and we're going to get to this in the back half of the episode, some things that you can do. But when we suggest that you do those things that are more benevolent, positive, uplifting in nature, all we're doing is asking you to tip the scale back to being closer to balanced. We want you to get to a point where your thinking is a little bit more balanced and likely more reflective of reality than the negativity that your brain will automatically or naturally try to get you to focus on and think that there is.
Exactly.
So it's a more of a balanced approach than the bias that we all already walk around with.
Yeah, couldn't say it better.
So that's number two. So we've talked about black and white thinking. We've talked about negativity bias. Oh, one of my favorites. This is what I studied in graduate school. If you Google my name for research, like research studies that I published, this is the type of stuff that will come up published with my name on it. And this is something called the in-group, out-group effect. This is our cognitive and social. I get to say I'm a social cognitive psychologist. Oh my God, it's never been more relevant than now. I am just really radiating in this.
You look so happy.
It is. I mean, it's relevant in other places, but it just came up so beautifully. And now I'm just, you know, pounding on that.
Just whole own it. Thought.
Anyway, it is this natural cognitive and social instinct that we have to create, think tribes, think groups of people, segments of people. We want clear lines between who is us and who is them. We also, and this kind of goes in with like black and white thinking to some degree as well, we also want to know who we are, what we do, what we believe, what we're good at, what we're not good at, et cetera, and how that differs from them, whoever the them is. And what we tend to do is we use very obvious things like skin color and gender and how fancy your clothes look and where you live and what religion you practice. We use really obvious, visible cues like that in order to set up the boundaries of who is us and who is them.
In the political season, man, right? I mean, we have two parties. Well, yeah. I mean, there are two main parties, right?
Donkeys and elephants, right? We have like perfect little icons for them.
Yes. So you're either or, and we get this sense of identity and we get this sense of connectedness, of belonging, right? By being part of the us. And that's in relation to, I am not them. And like you were saying, they are different. And it makes me think of a couple different things. It's very polarizing and divisive. Right. And then think about the emotions that come up, the anger, the hate, the resentment, all of it.
The disconnect, like I don't understand them.
Yes. And then we get into judgments and name calling and that's yuck.
Exactly. One other crazy thing about this is we're going to get into this a little bit more in the back half of the episode, but this is not 100%. Gender is a social construct. It tends to correlate with biological sex, but it's not a one-to-one and it's not perfect. Also, skin color. We know that there are interracial and mixed racial couples. And I mean, the lines are blurring more and more as like modern society integrates. That's natural. But you could look at my skin color and a friend of mine who has darker skin and say, yeah, April, your skin is lighter than that person's. Like, that's a thing about me that I carry around and about this other person and about us that we carry around. I am this of the sex and the gender that I am. And that is something that I largely carry around. Your political party, we ask you to sign up to be, meaning be as in identity, like be a political party. That is not what it is. What it is, your voting behavior is an action that you did. It is not the person that you are. I can't make myself a man.
I can't make myself a different ethnicity. I can vote a different way. So again, we say the political environment is like one of the worst case scenarios because it's playing on this in-group, out-group right. with a group that doesn't exist. Yeah. It's not a thing.
But right? it is something that people, because they do weave it so much into identity. And then you've got the black or white, right? So it's got to be, it's this or that, right? I vote blue or I vote red. And it just, yikes. And oh man. Okay, I follow Mark Manson, who's an author. He's written a lot of really great books.
They have the F word in them a lot.
They do, but it's all good stuff, right? Like his principles are based on solid psych and solid, like a lot of stuff consistent with acceptance and commitment therapy that we're fans of, just, you know, with F-bombs in there. But I get his newsletter. And this last week, he was talking about a giant study that was done really looking at differences in humans. Right? So big sample across countries, across cultures, but looking at the things that matter, like values, goals. And you know what? There are no freaking differences, right? Like when it comes to the stuff that really matters, what's important to you, everybody, cross culture. So it doesn't matter what your skin color, doesn't matter what your gender is, doesn't matter where your country of origin, everybody cares about education. Everybody cares about family and safety. So we actually have far more in common than most of us want to believe, but our minds overly attend to the differences. We pay attention to those differences. And then we have this heuristic, this like shortcut rule, different equals bad. And that just goes in and plays into this us versus them, this in-group, out-group. And man, it's just stirring up a bunch of stuff.
Mm-hmm. Super divisive. So you can see, again, we're building this case. This is given the brain that we walk around with and the software that it's running, this is a bad scene. And you can start to see why you might not feel the greatest for the next few months.
Yeah.
So we've talked about black and white thinking, negativity bias, in-group, out-group effect. The last one that we're going to hit on in this episode, but we could go on and on and on. The last one that we're going to hit on is something called the illusion of control. Our brains want to keep us safe. They want to keep us alive. And they make us believe that we have control over things that are completely outside of our control. They make us think that, well, I love how, Ashley, you've given this example so many times on the podcast about we do things like ruminate and we worry because we think it's effective.
Right. Because now most people will say, no, like, I don't want to worry. But really, if you push and you think about it, what would it be like to not worry? Well, that's uncomfortable because it feels like we're not doing anything.
And like somehow, if you're not worried about it, you're not taking it seriously.
Boom. And like, there's this underlying belief that if I'm worried about it, then I can do something about it. So people think about how much time do you spend planning and predicting? And if this happens, then I'll do this. And here's what I'm going to do. And it all is just a waste of mental energy because one, we're terrible at our accuracy for prediction is pretty poor in a lot of ways when we're looking at worries. And then two, if you're worrying about stuff, you're going to feel anxious, even though it isn't actually happening yet. It may not ever actually happen. Mm-hmm. So yeah, and then when we look at control, when I think politics and election season, we spend a lot of time and energy trying to control other people's beliefs, other people's behaviors, and those are not inside your circle of control.
Mm-hmm. How many people, I want to pause there. How many people are guilty of getting on Facebook and trying to convince your crazy aunt that that the post that she made is wrong or that her belief about something is wrong and it has left you nothing but exasperated? This is what we're talking about. You can't make adults do things. Like, you cannot force her to have a different belief.
No, here's the really twisted part with that. In particular, is that the ways that people go about trying to change other people's political opinions it's really, really ineffective, and it has the complete opposite effect. If I come at you telling you how wrong you are and why that's a dumb thing to think or believe or do, what happens?
You're gonna defensive.
Defensive. Us, them. That comes in. So it really is working against you, and you're probably pushing them further away from where you want them to go.
Man, we could do a whole episode on what the actual effective persuasive techniques are, because it stems back to a lot of what you've talked about, where common values are at the core. Some of the stuff that we do inside the Ascend program, PS, we do this technique. It's this design technique called laddering, where you think about a change. I'm going to give an example, this example that's outside of the context of what we're talking about, but I promise it's related. You think about a change that you want to make in your life. I want to exercise more. That's fine, but most people don't desire a change for the sake of the change. They desire it for an underlying root cause.
Right.
Well, why do you want to exercise more? Oh, because my pants would fit better. Well, why do you want your pants to fit better? Well, because I feel better about myself when my appearance is better. Well, why is that important to you? Why? I want to be proud of myself. Awesome. That's what you're after. You don't necessarily want to exercise every day. That's a means to an end.
Right.
You want to be proud of yourself.
Yeah.
So if you think about, and you don't have to do this to people, but if it's people you care about, you may give it a shot. You know, that person, your grandparent or your aunt or your whoever it is in your life, be quiet and ask them why. Oh, well, why is that important to you? Oh, well, what does that get you? And do it in a genuine way. You might be surprised that where you end up is in a place that they end up saying a root cause that is something like, because I'm afraid that I'm going to become irrelevant, because I'm afraid that I'm going to lose my job and I'm not going to be able to support my family, because I'm afraid that something dangerous is going to happen in my community. Like, the underlying root cause is the same, the means to the end, super different.
Well, and that's the thing, right? Is that gets back to, we actually have more in common than we don't. I guarantee if we took the time to really listen to each other and to get to those root causes, we're all on the same page. We're just going about it in different ways. We have different strategies to accomplish the same thing.
Because again, let's go back to the political environment being like the worst possible situation for all of this. The headlines that your aunt is posting, I'm just going to keep saying aunt. I don't, whoever, like insert the person here.
Yeah.
The headlines that they are posting, that is not something that they came up with on their own. That is something that a marketer who is paid extremely, or a copywriter who is paid a lot of money and who is trained for a long time to write clickbaity, persuasive, emotion-inducing copy and headlines, they wrote that. So if you were to sit down and have a face-to-face conversation, if you could get over the first 10 minutes where, you know, people may be inclined to just regurgitate the headlines they've read, if you can get past that point where you kind of run out of headlines that you can remember, now you have to create your own rhetoric. And that's when we just get human. And we say the things that are coming out of our heart, not the things that the copywriter who's really good at being persuasive wrote for us.
Man, I
love political season makes us lazy and much more punchy than we would be able to be on our own.
Yeah. No, I love the way you explained that. That makes so much sense. And then as you were talking, it also made me think too, like some of these headlines are designed to pack that emotional punch.
Mm-hmm.
Strong emotion shuts down our deliberative, rational thinking center.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So then it's just emotion meets emotion. And we're not going to find common ground there, because then it becomes about being right.
Mm-hmm. Forever ago, there was an episode of the podcast Hidden Brain. It's an NPR produced podcast. If you like brain science stuff, it is wonderful. But it's like months and months ago, maybe over a year ago. I don't know, quite a while. You'll have to scan back. It was all about this feeling of outrage, and how that's one of the most motivating feelings that is the goal of headlines right now. It's not just to make you angry. It is to make you outraged for this exact reason. It is so motivating behaviorally for people. So, I mean, we're being played. Even if you agree with the sort of I'll use like a public speaking word. Like even if you agree with the through line of that article, mm-hmm. this topic is bad for our society because it harms these people who we care about. Maybe that's a through line of an article. Mm-hmm. You could say it like that, or you could say it in a very emotionally charged, outrageous way that people would not actually use if they were in conversation with each other.
But man, when you put it like that, if these headlines and these conversations are all happening on this like outrage level, from a personal well-being standpoint, the more time you are in an angry state, the less time you are in a happy state.
Mm-hmm. Or even neutral
state, right? And that's going to minus your well-being.
Mm-hmm.
And we're not saying don't be angry, but just, oh man, there's a time and place for it.
Allow yourself to manufacture that anger. Don't allow it to be fed to you. Like you don't need, I mean, if you take any given person, and this is a great segue into what we're going to be talking about in the back half of this episode mm-hmm. or the latter portion of this episode, what to do about it. Mm-hmm. Something that we've talked about a million times. This is the core life design principle that we teach. This is a core piece to acceptance and commitment therapy that Ashley already talked about, is this is a very individualized situation. You need to decide, what do you value? What do you care about? What do you think is right? What is the right way to treat people? What is the right way for you to show up? Decide that for yourself. Don't allow that to be fed to you, because that's no different than any of the other self-limiting beliefs that we all get fed to us about how people like you can't, people like you shouldn't, women shouldn't, people of color can't, you know, men shouldn't, like whatever, like young people can't. All mm-hmm. of those are beliefs that get fed to us that then we start to treat as rules uh-huh. when they're not. You can go inside, determine what is the situation I'm in? Am I angry about it? And to what degree? So what am I going to do? You can go through that process, but do it for yourself. Don't let yourself mm-hmm. get, you know, sort of jerked around by the worst possible situation for your brain to be in.
Right. I saw this quote the other day, and I don't know who gets credit for it, but it was something along the lines of, the world won't be changed by your opinion, but by your example.
Mm.
And I love that, because it kind of maps on to what we're talking about, right? Like me getting angry and yelling at someone or attacking someone isn't likely to change anything.
Mm-hmm.
But I can be the example of how I think people need to be.
And I want to make sure, I want to be like really, really specific and call some things out right now, because what we're talking about when we say that is a conversation that you might have with a family member who disagrees with you on something or whatever. What we are not talking about, I think, and Ashley, I'm kind of speaking for you, so holler if I'm overstepping here, but what we're not talking about is, there are situations, there are injustices that are happening right now that it is perfectly natural for you to be furious and angry. When I think about groups of people, and there are a number of them, but the Black Lives Matter movement right now was born out of systemic racism. I studied this in graduate school, and it was eye-opening to, mm-hmm. you know, a young white woman from North Dakota, which is one of the most homogenous states in the nation, to come to Nebraska and meet you and other people from the South and learn that within a handful of years of me getting there, there was still Black prom and white prom. Mm-hmm. I didn't realize. And so studying that topic, we're kind of taking a little detour here, but I think it's important. Studying that topic made me realize, like, if you were treated in a way that was so unfair systematically, I'd be pretty angry too. So understand, like, emotions, Ashley said it 1,000 times, emotions are not bad. They're not wrong. You're not wrong or somehow bad for experiencing any myriad of emotions. What we're saying with this is, get to that point for yourself. Like, get to that point about how you're feeling for yourself, rather than allowing something else again to feed it to you.
Right. Well, and I think kind of building on that, just a quick point too, is that anger can be very motivating. Mm-hmm. And it can be very useful and very helpful. Nothing wrong with that. And to your point, yes, in some of these things, and it's a very natural response. Mm-hmm. And it goes back to saying, we're not saying just be positive. Everything is great and wonderful. What we are saying is be aware of how this current situation is going to bring out the worst in your brain. Mm-hmm. And why. And part of that can be unnecessary or unuseful, unhelpful anger or outrage. So or fear or whatever. Sorry.
No, okay. That's okay. Well, you just have this awesome acronym and you mentioned it before and I smiled because I'm like, oh, we're going to get there. This is awesome. But you have this acronym of ICK. Can you? And yeah. It's this great way of thinking about, as we close out this episode, what you can do and think about this. This is to the activist out there who is on the front lines trying to do the right thing. This is to the person who's just trying to get through this political environment. This is to like everybody who has a brain, whose brain is losing its mind right now in the political environment. This is how you thrive and get through this situation. Yeah. The acronym is ICK.
Yeah. So these are what I think of as the ICK factors, right? When you're in this icky situation, here's what you can do to make it a little more tolerable. I stands for input. Input matters. And by that, I mean what you are taking in. So this could be media, print, television, radio, social, but the media you're taking in, the conversations you are having, it matters because what you think about becomes what you think about. And if you're taking in a bunch of skewed, biased, even if it's not
outrageous,
right? Even if you're trying to say like, okay, I'll try to take just the most Walter Cronkite, here's the news version of this. If you're all you're taking in is the negativity and all the bad stuff, you're getting a skewed view. Input matters. And I'm not talking about burying your head. I'm not talking about being misinformed. I'm just talking about being very mindful and very intentional about what information you're allowing to enter into your brain. Much like what foods you put in your mouth are going to impact your body and how it runs, what information you take in is going to impact your brain. Input yeah. matters.
And how much do you need in order to be informed? And beyond that, is there a purpose to the media that you're consuming? Staying informed is a really important part of being a grown-up person in our society, an effective person in our society. But to your point, again, it's not about burying your head in the sand. It's about thinking about what is the purpose of me going further down this rabbit hole? Am I likely to find additional helpful information, or am I veering into the outrageous headlines that were written by somebody in a very emotionally charged way?
Absolutely. Well, and I go back to, you know, when we were kids and there wasn't 24-hour news cycles, mm-hmm. there weren't the internet wasn't a thing. So people got their news in a half hour dose, part like half of it local, half of it national, international. That's it.
News, weather, sports.
That's it.
That's what there was.
And now we've got 24/7. So they have to create news or find news to fill the time. Just be really mindful about that input. And the other thing is, it becomes very habitual and people are saying, I need this, just like checking your email. You don't actually need to check your email 18 times a day. Twice is sufficient, but we get into the habit and the more we do it, the more we do it. Same thing with news consumption. So just mm-hmm. be mindful of the input you're taking in. And beyond news, what are you taking in from other people? Mm. Conversations, topics that you're discussing.
You're allowed to set boundaries.
Absolutely. Yeah. So that's the I. C, this gets back to that illusion of control. C stands for control. In my experience being in a psychological practice forever is that people get really twisted up about what they can and can't control. Like we were talking about earlier. So you got to get really clear on, is this in my circle of control? Other people's thoughts are not. Other people's emotions are not. Their behaviors are not. The future is not. Your DNA is not. Like there are things that are outside your circle of control. There are things that are inside, and I see people give that up all the time. That's your own behaviors, your own reaction to thoughts and feelings. So what you do when those feelings show up, or what you do when those thoughts show up, those are inside your circle of control. Get crystal clear on that, because we don't want to spend the time and energy controlling, trying to control things we can't, and giving up the control of the things we can. Mm-hmm. That, I think, man, when people get clear on that one and they change the things they can't control and accept the things they can't, it makes a world of difference beyond the political season, just in terms of, I think, a life experience. But okay, input, control. K is for kindness. And before you roll your eyes or say, you know, we don't have, that this isn't the time or place to be kind, I want to challenge that, because if what we're coming at this is from the perspective of how do you take care of yourself through this really crummy situation, doing an act of kindness is the single most reliable way to boost your mood. Now, said in plain English, that means do something nice for somebody else and you will feel happier. Mm-hmm. Period. So it's something to do to offset all of the ick that we're experiencing and all of the ick that's out there in the world. Just do a kindness for somebody.
What I think is amazing about that, I want to tie this back. I keep trying to hit, you know, a couple of areas of the spectrum of, or just a couple situations that people might find themselves in this political mm-hmm. climate. This is helpful regardless of the situation you find yourself in. Again, I promised you at the beginning of this episode that we would keep coming back to people who are finding themselves in positions of activism. If you are actively campaigning for something, or you are calling people in support of something, you are protesting in support or against something, you are showing up and you are doing that activist type work. I'm talking to you right now. Kindness does not mean give up the fight of that work. As Ashley said, like that anger, that emotion behind it can be very motivating. And frankly, social change happens in that way. That's just how it happens. But because kindness has been shown time after time, study after study, to be such a big factor in helping people, like helping support people's psychological well-being, finding people who are aligned with the cause that you are trying to impact and doing something kind for those people, or doing something kind for yourself, mm-hmm. can support you in your ability to continue on and quote unquote fight the good fight. We talked right. about multiple times, like, we are human beings. I think you said it like, I don't know, 10 episodes ago. We're like human beings who are bound by our own biological like capabilities or something like that. I butchered it. It was cooler than that when you said it. Yeah, but thanks. That means we have limited cognitive capacity to right. think and reason and take in information. We have limited energy. We have limited stamina. We have limited motivation. We only have like so much capacity. And if you're one of those people who are out there fighting the good fight, trying to push for change, you're using a lot of that capacity. And we talk about this in Ascend as well. If you're the asset in that situation, if you are the core person who's trying to drive positive change, you need to protect the asset. And right. self-care practices around taking care of yourself or doing a kindness for others because it makes you feel good, frankly, mm-hmm. that is a way to protect the asset. Setting boundaries with other people, as Ashley mentioned, around control, it's a way to protect the asset. That's what we're getting at with this episode about if you are going through this political situation and you're feeling terrible, you're an asset in your life that needs to be protected, and understanding why you might feel that gross way and what to do about it can be really impactful in helping you get through in a way that you're thriving. Maybe you don't feel great every day. That's not the point, but you come out of it feeling proud and feeling like you don't regret the way that you handled it and that you actually learned something and are a better person because right. of it. Yeah.
Yeah.
I hope this episode was helpful for all of you. We came at it from a different lens than what a lot of people are probably putting out right now. It's an important message that others are sharing around how we can be better consumers of information, I would highly suggest you Google and go find great content on that because there's amazing stuff being created. But we wanted to put something out there that was a little bit different than what we were seeing, that was supportive in a way to help you have a good life experience through these next few months, because life doesn't go on hold. That finite amount of time that we all have, that clock still ticks when it's politics season. We don't put life aside. We're all still living it. So being able to move through this in a way where you're living your values, you're proud of what you're doing, you're not racking up regrets, you're not putting things on hold, you're doing the things that are important to you that matter. We want to be able to support you in doing that. So I hope this episode did that. Any final thoughts?
Nah, I think that's a good place to wrap up.
Amazing. Thank you guys so much for joining us this week. Please share this with somebody who you care about during this political season. We all
need... through my mind is like, please share it with someone who does the all caps yelling on Facebook.
Let me help you understand why you're so angry. I hear you. Oh man. Share it with somebody who might need support, and we'll leave that open-ended for you to decide what that might mean. But, I hope this was helpful and I hope it's helpful to that person as well. All right. Take care, guys. Hang in there. We're going to get there and we'll see you next week with another episode.
Tell me if this sounds like you. I'll finally be happy. I'll finally take a breath. I'll finally find some balance when I get through this crazy season of life. We hear that from so many people, and the fact is, many times, life is just a crazy season. All of it. Between your career, your family, your community obligations, attempting to have a social life, and trying to fit in self-care, whatever that is, we end up feeling stretched so thin. Now I want to challenge you to think about things differently. Rather than focusing on external circumstances and their impact on your happiness, your sense of ease and balance, and your mental well-being, what if instead you focused on something you can actually control? What if you built the psychological strength that would allow you to thrive through life when things are going well and even when they're not? What if you could feel less scattered, more in control, less anxious, more peaceful and joyful? We want that for you too. That's why we are so beyond excited to announce the beta release of our signature psych strength building program, Ascend. This program combines evidence-based tools, techniques, and information from the fields of psychology and life design to focus on three important modules: you, your mind, and your life. Learn your unique combination of strengths, values, and identity, and the ways in which they interact and lead you to approach life in your unique way. Dig into your mind to understand the conscious and subconscious processes that act as a lens through which you experience life. And finally, harness the power of life design to begin to steer your life into alignment with who you uniquely are. Enrollment in this beta round of Ascend is open now, and because it's our beta round, the price is astonishingly low. So if you have ever had even a suspicion that you could benefit from building psychological strength through a guided, science-backed experience, now is the time. Visit www.peakmindpsychology.com/ascend for more information and to join us. Friends, it is time to build psychological strength. It's time to live by design and not by default. It is time to live like your life depends on it, because it does. Join us in Ascend by visiting www.peakmindpsychology.com/ascend. That's www.peakmindpsychology.com/ascend. It's a simple fact that nearly everyone in the world could benefit from building psychological strength, but not everyone will put in the time and effort to do so, but today you did. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Building Psychological Strength. Now, if you're interested in building the mental toughness, confidence, and resilience you need to thrive through life's ups and downs, visit us at www.peakmindpsychology.com. Also, if there's someone in your life who could benefit from this episode, please share it with them. And if you yourself found this episode valuable, meaning if you took away even one insight that you can use to build psychological strength in your own life, we would so appreciate it if you would drop us a rating and a review on iTunes. The thing is, the more ratings and reviews we have, the easier it is to get this powerful and important content out to the people who need to hear it. Remember, your mind can be your most valuable asset or your biggest liability, and you get to choose. So choose wisely, my friend, and I'll see you next time on Building Psychological Strength.
Baseball fans, BetMGM is giving you the chance to win a prize every day during the baseball season. Step into the batter's box for BetMGM's Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. Pick any area of the strike zone and take your best swing. If you get a single, double, triple, or home run, you'll receive a prize. Smash a home run to collect a bonus bet on us. Just log into your BetMGM sports account to get started. Then visit your promotion section to access the Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. You'll score a prize if you hit a single, double, triple, or home run. There's nothing more exciting than going yard, so swing for the fences with the king of sportsbooks. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards vary depending on the market and expire 24 hours from issuance. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.